Well, it's a joy to be here today. I guess when we were here a couple weeks ago, three Sundays ago actually, we were on our way to Wisconsin for my niece's wedding, and we made it there all right, and had a good time with our family. Some of the things that really, I guess we'd say, troubled me, meeting with folks down in Wisconsin where we were, is that there are things going on in this world, as you well know, that are troubling, not only in Canada, but also in the United States. And even talking to folks at Wildwood Baptist Church down in Oshkosh, a good church, but folks that are concerned about what's going on in the ministry around the United States. Churches that one day stood for things that were right, standing on the Word of God, have changed and are doing some things that are trying to attract people by programs and changing Bible, changing music, all those kind of things that are going on, and not proclaiming the Word of God like they once did. That's troubling. I thank the Lord for Prince Albert Baptist Church and for you folks that want to have the Word of God and know that it's the power of God that changes lives, and the preaching of God's Word and the Holy Spirit that deals with our hearts and convicts men and women of sin. And today I'd like to express some things from the Word of God that I've been looking at this past week. It's interesting. I was studying earlier in the week and reading my Bible, and I told my wife, I said, well, I think the Lord's given me two messages this last week to preach. And what was it, a day or two later, Brother Webster phoned and said, could you preach for me on Sunday? I thought, wow, okay. So you're going to be the recipients of what the Lord was teaching me this past week and in my own life. Before we start, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, I love you. I thank you for your precious word. I thank you that we can gather together in a free country today and hear the word of God proclaimed. It's not so, as I'm certain we've read about what's going on in Venezuela and other parts of the world where there isn't that freedom to hear the gospel. And Lord, today as we look into your word, I pray that you'll challenge my heart, that you'll challenge the hearts of these dear folks that are here today. And Lord, we're not here to offend anyone, but Lord, we are here to preach the word of God. And many times the word of God has great offense. But Lord, I pray today that your Holy Spirit would be preeminent here, and that we'd glean those truths that you have for us from your word. I ask that you bless your word, and may it find lodging in our hearts. I'll give you the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Thinking about what's going on in the world today, we as Christians know that we can be free from the burden of sin. We can be free from the bondage that sin entails. And I know as we view the world today, we see a world that's groaning in despair. It really is, in wickedness, in violence, in bondage, and looking for some kind of freedom that seems to escape us every time we try to get our heads above the water, right? I'm told I've never ridden on a big ocean liner going, like say, from out east over to England, but I'm told that when those big ships get in a storm and they're plowing through the waves, that if you're down in the hull of the ship, you hear creaking and groaning and like it's in despair as it plows through the storm. I think it's that way with mankind on this earth as we pass through the storms of life. We groan in all that bondage of sin. that has to offer us. I think of the past year. This past year up north has been pretty rough as far as those young people who have been caught in the bondage of sin and have taken their own life. Many young people from age 10 upward this last year have taken their lives. Why? I think they're not only groaning with that bondage of sin, but they're experiencing that bondage that they're living in, and they feel like they can't escape. They feel trapped and no place to find relief from all the pressures of life. We know that the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Sin always brings bondage. Sin brings bondage. Brings mankind bound, and this whole earth groans in the desperate desire to be made free. But what is sin? What is sin? I wrote down a few things here, what the Bible says. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, the Bible says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. And for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. I'd like to read a part out of Romans this morning in chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Begin reading in verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law, sin was dead. Now that word concupiscence there is a kind of a big word, an old English word, and that simply means to covet, to lust, to desire sexual pleasures, to covet worldly things. That's sin. And so many are caught up in sin. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. Now here's Paul. Here's this man, that a man of God who, in his beginning of his life, his name was Saul, who slew or put to death Christians and thought he was doing God a favor. But one day, this man became a Christian. He met God on that road to Damascus, and God changed his life. But as a Christian, Paul had struggles, just like you and I have struggles. What did he say? Well, verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that, when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity in the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. I don't know about you, but do you struggle with sin in your everyday life? You say, well, you know, I'm pretty righteous. I try to do good. Well, Paul, he was a pretty righteous man. He tried to do right. But he said, there's a war that's going on inside of us that brings us into bondage. And that's the bondage of sin. The Bible says over in Psalm chapter 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. We have to continually remind ourselves that, yes, we look around us and we see this old world groaning in sin, wickedness, violence, all those things that are going on, but there's also a war going on inside. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, every day there is going to be a battle that we have to face and a battle that we encounter in this life. I can either give in to that battle. The Bible says over in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And Paul said, I've got this issue going on in my body of flesh, which lives in this present world, and there's a battle going on. Sin entered into the world. We saw sin come into the world in Genesis chapter 3 when Adam and Eve sinned against God. I want to call your attention to a verse, however, in chapter 4 that can remind us of the fact that we really have a battle going on in this world. We read about Cain and Abel. And Abel, verse 4 of chapter 4, brought an offering of his firstlings of his flock. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and unto his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And then God came and talked to him. The Lord said to him, Cain, why art thou wroth? Why are you angry? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. God has given every one of us the ability to think for ourselves. We choose to do that which either is right or wrong in this present world that we're living in. We see the battles going on around us, and we see the violence and the wickedness and all the things that are around us, and I think sometimes it doesn't really affect us. Even though in our thought mind or in those things that we do in secret, we actually are probably many times sinning against God. The things that we think about, the things that we watch, the things that we listen to. In Genesis chapter 5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continuously. And it repenteth the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created. It repenteth me that I have made them. Verse 11, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth and beheld, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Yeah, the Bible says there's a way that seems right unto man, but the ways thereof are the ways of death. And that's what sin does. The Bible says that lust, when it's conceived, bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And that's what Satan really wants us to get into. When sin takes over, there's nothing left but wickedness, evil, corruptness, and violence. And that describes the world that we live in today. That describes our world. Now, maybe you're here today and you're just visiting and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe someone invited you to church. I don't know all of you folks. But maybe you're here today and you have a clear testimony knowing that, yes, I have become a child of God. I remember the day when I repented of my sin and God worked in my heart and drew me to himself. And I confessed my sin before God. And I know that today, without a shadow of a doubt, that I know the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Turn over to 1 John chapter 5. In 1 John chapter 5, the Bible talks about that very thing. The Bible says this, whosoever that believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. But this we know, that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Now, there is a battle going on in our life. Satan on one side is trying to pull us and do what he would have with us here in this earth. He wants us to do all the wickedness and join all the things that go on in this world. You know, the Bible talks about that as well. Fools make a mock of sin, the Bible says over in the book of Proverbs. You know, some people just think it's funny. I want to address, first of all, you who are Christians. You know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And yet, in this life that we're living, Satan wants to pull us aside. He wants us to fail. He wants us to fail in our walk with the Lord. He wants us to become a poor testimony before God. Now, what does the Bible say in 1 John chapter 5? This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. His commandments are not grievous. So what I do is I purpose in my heart to say, God, would you help me every day of my life to live for you? May I bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus. And may you have full control of my life. Now, that's not always easy to do, is it? We note that Satan brought sin into the world. The highest angel, and left heaven with about a third of the other angels. They rebelled against God. God said in in Ezekiel chapter 28, he said in verse 15 or 14, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee, and Satan was thrown out of heaven." That's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 6, in verse 23, you know that verse by heart, I'm sure, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Isaiah chapter 14 also gives a little picture of Satan. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." When I fall for that lure of Satan, when I follow his track, the Bible talks about this: pride cometh before the fall. Satan was lifted up in pride and was thrown out of heaven. Now, Satan is our enemy. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. The father of lies, the Bible says over in John chapter 8. And he's just looking to see who he can destroy. Christian. In my lifetime, I suppose as a younger person, I didn't realize how Satan destroys people. Oh, I think years ago we'd hear of the person here and there that would fall into the hands of Satan. But I can tell you today, being older, it's becoming more and more prevalent. And God help us that we would guard ourselves every day to stay true to God. That old devil hates anything that's good, wholesome, clean, pure, righteous, because he's a liar, he's a deceiver, and he's a destroyer of lives. You know what it says over in the book of Revelation in chapter 20? "The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone." Verse 11 to 15, "I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whom the face of the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And the death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So Satan, first of all, as a Christian, wants to destroy your life and my life, ruin our testimony, and then those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, he wants to blind their eyes and carry them with him to this final judgment, the great white throne judgment for those that are lost, where they'll be eternally separated from God in a place of torment, a place called the lake of fire. And folks, that place is forever and ever and ever and ever. No one will ever leave hell. No one will ever leave hell. It's a place of torment. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The wonderful truth in the Word of God. knowing that Jesus came to this earth to save us from our sin. When I was here last time, Pastor Webster preached on Sunday night, John chapter 10. He said this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go out, and go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Oh, I thank God for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved you, who loved me so much that he came to this earth and paid that penalty of sin that I might have everlasting life. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? I mean, do you know without a shadow of a doubt? Can you say over as John said in 1 John chapter 5 that you are know the Lord as your Savior? Verse 9 says, "If we receive the witness of man, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." We can have that confidence, knowing for sure that if we were to go out into eternity today, that we would be with the Lord. Do you have that assurance? And then as that assurance, you say, "Yes, I know for sure that I'm on my way to heaven." How is your life doing today? Are you living for the Lord Jesus Christ? Or do you feel like maybe you're caught up in the bondage of sin? I think I probably referenced this verse last time, but over in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, "Love not the world, neither the things in the world." Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of the Father abideth forever. Satan is out to destroy. He's a liar, he's a deceiver. And Christian, he's out to destroy your life. I marvel at reading through the Word of God, and even in the New Testament, when we see men of God that were once standing strong for God departed from the faith. I think probably one of the most prevalent ones that's preached about the most is Demas. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And that's what Satan wants us to do. Now, here we have a church, Prince Albert Baptist Church. I know the pastor. In fact, Pastor Webster, if you didn't know this, was the one that invited my wife and I to come to Canada years and years and years ago, about 35 years ago. All right? So 34 years ago, or 35 years this coming May, we made our first trip from down south to Canada. You know why? Because your pastor invited me to come. I know your pastor's heart. I know his love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that in Prince Albert, he wants to see this church become stronger and stronger and stronger and be that lighthouse as you've got up on the top of your mast up there, the pinnacle of this church, a strong light that shines over Prince Albert. The light of the gospel message needs to go forth from this church. And Christian, how are you helping in the ministry of this church? Think about it. You say, yes, I know the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Well, are you caught up in the things of the world? If you're caught up in the things of the world, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. What are those things? Well, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. We get so busy. I get so disgusted with myself so many times that I think, wow, I'm caught up in the world. I'm doing all these things that seemingly are so meaningless in light of eternity. And folks, what I didn't read is the fact that Christians are going to stand before God and give an account for their life. There'll be a day that Jim Pfaffenroth will stand before God and give an account for his life. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, one day you and I will stand before God and give an account for this life. Now think about this life. We live, I realize our life expectancy today is going up, right? All right, we've got good medical care. Appreciate you nurses that are here today and taking care of us. We have good food. It's not like Venezuela, where people are selling themselves and selling everything they have to buy just a little morsel of food to stay alive. We have everything. But does that get in the way of us serving God? You see, God said in James chapter 1, verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. So, I started out with that verse over there in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth at the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now, I don't know about you, but God, I'm asking you to bless my life. How does God bless our life? Well, he gives us some warnings and says, don't do this. Don't get involved with that. Don't get so busy that you don't read the Word of God, that you don't pray, that you're not active serving me. Because one day, suppose that you live to be 100 years old, that you're going to die and be in eternity. And you can't put a number on eternity, because eternity is forever and forever. It's something that we can't wrap our mind around. So that 100 years, if you're honored to live 100 years, are you going to give it for the cause of Christ here on this earth? Or are you going to live for self and do all the neat things that's afforded us in North America? We get caught up in the dream of life, and Satan exactly wants us to do that, so that we will become ineffective in serving him. While Jesus came to die for our sin, that we might have life It's a separation that God wants us to have from the world when he gives us life. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 to 10 says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely would a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." What that simply means is this. When I become a child of God, I have been purchased. I've been purchased with the precious blood of Christ. And now I am his. And he gives me his word. He gives me his word. And he said, follow it. Obey it. Do what's right. I marvel at the number of folks I've talked to down south. And they say, well, that's for you. I choose to do the other. And how sad that is. Not realizing that one day they too will stand before God and give an account of their life. They'll give an account of their life. Those that know the Lord Jesus Christ ought to lay all on the altar and say, Lord, here am I. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Not saying, I have dreams, I have ambition, I have the things of this world that I want to pursue, and wow, I love doing all the things of the world, but you know, I'm a Christian. It's a hard balance, isn't it? It's difficult. It's hard for me. I find that even in the ministry, sometimes you think folks in the ministry would have it easy. That's not true at all. As the Apostle Paul said, the good that I would, I do not. And that's what I do not, that would I, that do I. I do the things that I know I ought not to do. And then Paul said, concluding that portion there that we read, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? I thank God. He will. But there's some expectation that God has for me. He said to read the Word of God and pray. Communicate with me. Do we do that? Do we really do that in our life? Sometimes we get so busy. Say, oh, I know I should read my Bible this morning, but man, I got up late and I'll just put it off till later, and generally later doesn't come that day. Then it gets pushed on to the next day. At least that's what happens to me. Maybe that doesn't happen to you, but boy, it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to daily get in the Word of God and glean the truths that God has for me, and then to communicate with him and pray. There may be someone here today who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Did you know that God loved you so much that he died for you? He died for you. And that Satan, that liar, that deceiver, the one that wants to keep you in bondage of sin, has been defeated. He's been destroyed, really, by God. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, once and for all, put Satan behind him. And you can have victory in your life today. Now, when you hear the Word of God, and the Word of God begins to prick your heart, as it did those Jews back in Acts chapter 2, when Peter preached that message and preached the Word of God, and the Bible says, and they were pricked in their heart and said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And what did Peter say? Repent. Repent of your sin. Get right with God. Why so? Because there is that day coming when, even though you may live to be to 100, just like anyone else, that you also will stand before God. And God will say, "Depart from me. I never knew you." What an awful judgment that will be. Because that eternity as well, for those who are lost, is also eternity. You never escape that. Judgment of God forever and forever and forever. So I would encourage you today, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this would be the day to trust Him. Say, "Lord, forgive me. I need to know you as my personal Savior." So I'd ask today, first of all, as a Christian, are you living for the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you said, "I just want to humble myself before God and say, God, here I am. I want to be used of you. Use me in any way that you can." I think sometimes we minimize what God can do with our life. I heard an interesting little story, and maybe I mentioned it here last time, I don't remember. I heard this little story about a mouse and an elephant. They were walking down the road together, and they came to this swinging, rickety old bridge. Now, a mouse, you know, is pretty small, at least in comparison to an elephant. And they thought, "Well, we're going to give it a try. We're going to go across this old rickety bridge." And they tentatively went across that bridge, and it was swinging and wiggling, and didn't know if they were going to make it, but they got to the other side safely. And the little mouse said to the elephant, "Boy, we sure shook that thing up, didn't we?" You say, "Well, what is that supposed to mean?" Sometimes you may think, "I don't have much of a talent. I don't have much ability to do anything for the Lord." But God's given you ability, and even if it's just that encouragement that you would say to someone else, "Wow, we sure shook the world up." Obviously, the elephant's the one that did all the shaking, but that little mouse was a part of being walking across that bridge. Are you really a part of this church? You really love this church? You love the Lord and really want to get busy for Him and serve Him and say, "You know, whatever way I can, I will serve the Lord. I'll serve the Lord." And then, like I said, if there's someone here today who doesn't know you as personal Savior, wow, this would be a day that you'd say, "I really need to trust the Lord. Someday I'll be in eternity, and I want to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ." Would you think on those things this morning? Let's stand together with our heads bowed. As the